Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. This is our first week of trying something new between 7 and 9 a.m. We have a Monday show coming up with our good friend Lydia Aranda. She'll be talking about community and engagement. We have our Tuesday show with General Ted Maxwell, where he does his great civics lessons and engagement of getting people involved in the conversation. On Wednesday, another good friend, Grant Kruger, does food for thought and also a little bit of politics. On Thursday, Tom Moulton takes us around Southern Arizona attractions, compliments a visit Tucson. And then on Fridays here, we talk about first hour. We talk about business and organization successes. And then we'll talk in the second hour about wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. So before we get started, I just want to say happy Valentine's Day. It's February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, Morgan. I hope you do something exciting for Valentine. Oh, you're going to work later tonight, so that'll be your
yes,
wonderful.
Yes, I am.
You got to do your other job that you have, so you'll get to spend Valentine's Day doing something fun. So, Morgan Murphy, good to see you, and thank you for all you do for The Morning Voice. And happy Statehood Day. It was on February 14th, 1912, that President William Howard Taft signed legislation to officially make Arizona the 48th U.S. state. So happy Statehood Day for everybody. Well, speaking of success stories, it is appropriate, Mr. Lamb, that you are our first guest on the Friday show of Morning Voice, because you are also a very good friend and a great mentor to me, and very involved in our community and very successful being here the last a decade or more, doing the wonderful things that you and your family do in Tucson. So welcome, Rob Lamb.
Oh, thank you, Ed. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to talk in a little bit about Mighty Dog and what you're doing with that. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about the hot topic that's been going around, especially in this control room the last few days, Proposition 414 and the raising $800 million over the next 10 years. So what do you think about that proposition?
You know, this is an area, and we've talked about this before, Ed, when you look at the important things that the city needs to really focus on, and they really are around two things, public safety and infrastructure. That's
right.
the primary job. And you know, in roofing, we look at, hey, your home, if your roof's not working, all the stuff inside, you know, is a problem. And
right.
So we, you know, the same way with the city, you've got to take care of the fundamentals. And so it's very well intended, Prop 414 is, to really address some of the issues that are facing our city. But it's the wrong solution, the wrong timing for the city right now. And it's the wrong way to address those things from a funding standpoint.
Right. I think it's interesting that the if we do pass this, as the voters pass this on March 11th, I think is the final date of the mail-in ballot, mail-in only proposition vote. And if we do pass it, we'll be at 9.2%, I believe it is. Is it 9.2? I think it's 9.2%. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Is it? So it's 8.7 plus 5. Yeah,
it,
so it's 9.2.
It will be the highest.
It's the highest in the state.
Yeah.
And the only one that's close is Glendale, but they funded a stadium or two and use that money to build a stadium, which was bringing back economic development. And this money would be going out, not necessarily creating economic development. So 9.2% is a pretty high tax.
You know, there's a number of people that I find in the public sphere talk about, you know, wealthy people paying their fair share.
Right.
And those of us who have got building a business, investing our time and money into providing the jobs for those, you look at that and you say, well, wait a minute, this is a regressive tax.
Right.
This is actually, for you and me, it's going to have less of an impact than on those, the 20% in the city of Tucson that are actually below the poverty line.
Right.
It's going to have a much bigger impact on them.
Right.
And so then you look and you say, hey, this is not a fair and equitable way to address these issues, which are real. They are real. And by the way, I must say, there are some people that I know and respect in this community that are for this proposition. We've had some very good discussions about it. So it's well, but again, well intended,
right?
But the wrong solution.
And I would also add that when you have a $2.4 billion city budget and a similar amount in the county, so we're talking almost $5 billion in oversight with both the police and sheriff's office and so forth. Sometimes you got to step back and say, Just like you would in a family or in a business, you've got a budget. You got to live within that budget, and you got to make some priority changes and say, if we need more funding for the police to buy capital equipment and get some more police officers, which, you know, in my mind, we need to be at a lot more than we are now, and not count the community service officers as part of the total, but actually get you some law enforcement officers that are, and I always said we wanted 1,000 by 2025 or 2026, and we're not even close to that unless you count in all of the community service officers. You know, we're at about the same staffing level as we were 10, 15 years ago, and some would even argue that we're about two-thirds of what we were not too long ago. That's a matter of choice that the city council and the leaders of our community have decided that they're going to take that $2.4 billion and use it for other stuff, when the charter clearly says that, you know, five things that they need to be doing. One of them is making sure we have a formidable police force to solve these problems, and we don't. And yeah. You would think with $2.4 billion, you could make that happen.
You would think. It's a matter of priorities. It's also a matter of transparency.
Right.
And making sure that we can say, all right, is there a way to make sure we're held accountable on these things? And this is an example of, you know what, we can do better on this one. And so my encouragement is to those who are in the city, vote no on this one. Yeah. But do so respectfully for those who've decided to try to put this forward.
Right.
It is aimed at trying to fix some things that are real in our city.
Right.
But it's the wrong solution.
Yeah. My wife just got back from Palm Springs. She was over there at an event, and she was just mentioning last night at of course, Palm Springs, just based on what you were talking about, the standard of living there is probably, instead of $27,500, it's probably $270,500. You know, it's probably 10 times the median income is what we have here. But she was just mentioning how many police officers were around and how few unhoused people and how clean the surrounding area was. And granted, there's a bunch of people with a lot of money, and that does make a difference. But it's what you do with what you have and what your priorities are and what you want your city to be. And unfortunately, I think over the last many years, we've chosen to not defund the police, but maybe not fund it adequately. It's maybe a better word, and not to continue to recruit and get police officers here. And that has resulted in a lack of police officers. And now the proposal, well, let's get some more money so we can get some more. What have you been doing the last 10 years? How come we don't have that number in there? So that would be my perspective of doing what you can with what you have.
There's also another issue you look at. This is a special election.
Right.
And to any time you do something like that, it costs a lot of money.
$1 million.
To be able to do that. And you say, well, wait, if we had waited until the normal election,
right,
the cost would not have been there. And so this is just, it's like, hey, wait a minute. I have to say, hold on a minute.
So let's wait five more months,
yeah,
and let's do it in November when we have some city council elections on the off year.
And more importantly, the other piece too is, and we'll have more people voting.
Right.
You know, if you really want to have a democracy where you got input from people, don't have a special election where, and only in the mail, where people are going to maybe lose it, not pay attention, et cetera. Yeah. That's not real democracy.
Yeah. Even the off-year election, which could be another whole topic of discussion, doesn't portend to get enough people out to really, you know, a very small percentage of the electorate is actually voting for our city council and mayor, because it's in an off year. It's not a presidential year. It's not a gubernatorial year. It's you know, all the big issues are on the even years, and we're on the odd years. And so that, you know, some people would argue that you know, maybe by design. Some people would say maybe by design. So I don't know about that, but maybe that's something. Well, anyways, it'll be interesting to see what the voters of the city of Tucson decide about whether or not they're going to say yes to a half-cent sales tax, and whether or not they're going to raise $80 million a year for 10 years, $800 million. I call it a billion, because by the time you get to 10 years out, there's going to be more money involved. So it's a $1 billion tax. And does the city of Tucson really need that right now? And can we reprioritize and reallocate funds and make it happen? So I know what I would do if I was down there. I would certainly take a look at that and make that happen. So, Okay, we're talking with Rob Lamb, who is a community leader who has, you've been in the chamber, you've been a guiding force in the Metro Chamber for years, you're MPA, you've name a couple of the groups that you've.
I've had the opportunity, the privilege to serve on the board of Sun Corridor, which is now going to be merging with the chamber.
Right.
We're excited. Both organizations, the Metro Chamber and Sun Corridor, focused on the economic viability of the city that we know and love, and that we want our kids and our grandchildren to be able to grow up in. And so, and then Metropolitan Piedmont Alliance, I continue to serve on the board there. And that's a wonderful organization, all about real estate development. You know, and again, not in a way as just only business, but saying, hey, we live in a community here. What's sustainable?
Right.
And moving it forward.
That's great. And you're also a business person. You've run a couple of big organizations here in town, and now you're came here because of Rain Bird, and run a couple of big organizations in town, and now you're you and your family are venturing off into something new and exciting. So we'll talk about that when we get back after the break, and talk about how the lambs and all the little lambs are making the making their way in Tucson's wonderful environment, and what you're doing in the roofing business. And we'll talk about that. So this is the Morning Voice. This is the first Friday show of the Morning Voice. This is a new enterprise for us, 7 to 9 a.m. every day. We have five different hosts, one each day. Pretty exciting. And we are talking with Rob Lamb and from Mighty Dog, and we'll be back after the break. You're listening to the Morning Voice on KVOI. I love Arizona. That's great. Valentine's Day and State
of
Day.
Got both of them right there, huh?
Wrapped into one. That's great. Happy Valentine's Day to you, Morgan Murphy.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Statehood Day. Both you and I are native, so we're natives of Arizona, so that's a good thing. So we're celebrating our statehood. With us is Rob Lamb, who is a community leader and been doing great work on behalf of the citizens of Tucson for many, many years. And now he and his family have started a great endeavor called Mighty Dog Roofing. So congratulations on your new company.
Great, thanks.
You've been doing it for a couple months now, right?
Yeah, we started last year and ramped up and had a little bit of a lull in December because a lot of people were thinking about other things like the holidays.
Right.
And we didn't have those winter rains that we normally get during that time, which are those rains are the reminder for us Tucsonans. It comes so rarely at, oh, yeah, I forgot about that leak in my roof. And then I just got reminded again. Yeah, 6 months later, because it's been out of sight, out of mind. And so we've got some rains coming up, though.
I remember when you were, you know, contemplating what you were going to be doing and where you were going to do it. There was thoughts about maybe moving up north to the big city there and taking over a CEO of a big company up there. There was some talks about doing some more of that stuff down here. But you opted to do a family business with your wife and your kids and take on this endeavor of being an owner of a franchise called Mighty Dog Roofing. Why that decision, and why not continue to be the CEO of major companies and stuff?
A few different things. One is I love the city. We've been here for 16 years and raised our kids here. We obviously gotten involved, and we really want to see this happen. And as an entrepreneur, really want to be able to grow the economy, serve. We've raised our kids to, you know, how do we best serve people?
Right.
And when you look at it and you say, hey, if I can grow a business that is serving not only our customers and clients, but helping families. And what better way to help a family than to make sure they've got a good roof over their head?
Right. I was thinking about you, ironically, when we flew into Tucson back from my son's wedding. We were flying over the city of Tucson, and I just, you know, the two things you notice when you fly over the city of Tucson is all the pools in people's backyard. About every sixth house seems to have a pool, depending on where they are. Everything ranging from an above-ground pool to beautiful, gorgeous pools in the foothills. But the other thing that you notice when you fly into Tucson is all the roofs.
Yes.
And because so many of them are white because of that in the southern desert out down here, those white roofs are really prominent, as well as tile roofs and other kind. But the white roofs really pop out when you're flying into Tucson. Why why roofing? Why did you pick roofing? Why didn't you pick air conditioning or asphalt or something else? Why did you pick roofing? Why?
It was a choice of a few different things. One is we've got a wonderful, the construction community here, the trades, is a wonderful community. When I was at GLHN Architects and Engineers, I got to experience the wonderful community that mm-hmm. is the commercial contractors, subcontractors. There's some real family-oriented people in mm-hmm. in that industry that are focused. So that was one. The other one is Mighty Dog is really focused on a number of things that are, to me, makes a lot of sense. One is home services. It's going to be, we all have to live somewhere and
right.
Something around the place we live and have to work, and everybody's got a roof. The Mighty Dog's focus is really on three different things. One is national. It's a national brand. It's growing. We're, mm-hmm. I think, number 105 in the country.
Right.
So we're leveraging a lot of the national relationships with distributors, with key suppliers, a lot of training on the technology that's there. That's the second thing, is the technology, not so much around the roofs, but also around how do we best care for our customer. You know,
right.
there's a lot of things right now that we can do. We call it top dog communication,
mm-hmm.
Making sure, you know, how many times have we had a contractor doesn't call you back? We want to be the ones that not only call back, but make sure that you are well informed about what's happening on your roof, what the issues are, and help you make a good choice of these options. We recommend this one, but we're helping you make a good decision on what's going to be best for you and for your family. And then the third side is a real focus that Mighty Dog and the overall company Horsepower Brands has on the entrepreneur operating system, the EOS. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with it, but it's really focusing on how to run a business
mm-hmm.
that's focused on people. If you build the people will build the business. And that really aligns with what I've learned sometimes the hard way in the business, in my experience over the many years
right.
in business.
It's about customer service. You know, the products are, you know, in your case, the technology of the products that you are applying to roofs is pretty top dog stuff.
Yeah.
But that whole customer relationship and building trust and so forth is so powerful. We teach it every semester at the University of Arizona in our sales classes about the customer relations is that's where the gold is. The rest of it is all kind of academic. It's got to be that customer service. All that technology, all the knowledge, all the things you know are nothing if you can't provide the customer service to go along with that. So you've been in business for since last year, and what types of roofs are you of everything, obviously, but what is like the most popular roof, if you were going to say, in Tucson? Is it that application of that built-up roof, the white roof, or what kind of roof is?
It's about basically about a third between a flat roof that you just described,
right.
where you've got a coated surface. Many of us have got homes like that. And a third are asphalt shingle,
right.
which is seen a lot in the rest of the country. You
mm-hmm.
know, we came from Michigan, and that's pretty much all the roofs up there are asphalt shingle.
And that's a sloped roof,
and
typically.
That's a sloped roof as right. well. And then the other type of sloped roof is where you've got either a concrete or a clay tile,
mm-hmm.
and we see a lot of those. And then what we're seeing also growing more and more is a metal roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we had to make sure that we had to be able to service all of those roofs. And it's not just, oh, this house is metal, this house is flat, this house is shingle, but you'll see two, three, and I've even got one customer that's got four different types of roof on their home.
Right.
It's just amazing what mm-hmm. you'll see in this town.
Right.
And many people think that, oh, I just need to paint the roof.
Right.
No, it's not a painting. It's actually a very sophisticated system that needs to be maintained, and it works very well when it does. And that's when we come up and we do the free inspections where we come in and assess the condition of that and be able to offer the options of, hey, here's what has happened. Hey, you can go another year. Just needs a coating. Or, you know what? You're leaking here. You need to get this fixed and replaced.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to have Mighty Dog come out and do a free assessment of their roof, and especially as we get closer to the summer and the monsoon season, when that seems to be come to mind, people begin to think about paying some attention to their roof. But now's a good time to make that call and get someone to come out and take a look, right?
Absolutely. And we've got people ready to go do that. And we're ramping up. We're actually seeing January was a good month for us, and February is really starting to move quickly. So we've got lots of roofs in this town
right. That
need some help, and we'd love to be able to help those who are here, both commercial and residential.
Rob Lamb at Mighty Dog Roofing. So how would they contact you? What's the best way to find you?
We all get to know the almighty Google.
Right.
Just if you Google Mighty Dog Roofing, and you'll find us here in town, mightydogroofing.com/Tucson. You'll find us as well. And, give us a shout. We'll come out and take a look at your roof.
And in some cases, you wouldn't mind if they called two or three places and you were one of those that
absolutely.
That they talked to, and then you can explain the difference between yourself and what a competitor might do, or a one-man band might be able to do for you, right?
And I'll be the first to say, too, Ed, that our commitment is not that we're going to be the lowest price, but we're going to be the highest value.
Right.
There's a lot of people that will come and give you a substandard, either materials or workmanship. That's not us. If you're looking for something cheap and you're going to flip your house and just not worry about it and pass it on to the next owner, then call someone else.
Or just paint over it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
not worry too much about it. Okay, so that's mightydogroofing.com/Tucson, and that's where you go to get a free inspection and talk with Rob Lamb and his wife, wonderful wife Molly, and their couple of their kids.
And I have to do a big shout out for my wife Molly.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's amazing. She's been a wonderful help for getting this business started. So thank you, Molly.
She's your Valentine, that's
she
for sure.
Is.
She's a special person. We really think she's great. So, Matt, you have a special Valentine, too. We got to say hi to Kelly, don't we? Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She's one of my good friends, and I think I knew her before I knew you, to be honest with
Holy
you.
Holy so, smokes.
Yeah, a long time at Hughes Federal Credit Union.
You bet.
So Rob Lamb, Mighty Dog Roofing, give him a shout. Get his crew out to see if there's something they can do for you, especially leading up to the monsoons. And then thank you for all you do for the community. And more importantly, thank you what you do for the Ackerley family. We appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate this. And thank you for the Morning Voice.
You're the first one. So you're the first guest for me on Friday. So it was very appropriate that you're here. We'll come back and we'll talk with a brand new company in Tucson that's also making some success stories, and we'll talk with the pad coming up in just a minute. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break.
This is the Arizona March, the original official state song.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I wasn't quite born yet when they became a state.
I wasn't implying as such.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Matt, you amaze me at the great DJ work you do over there. How do you think of those songs is my question. Yeah. It just comes to you?
That and Google.
A little bit of AI. What would
a
be a good
song?
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit of it. No, I think it's you. I think you're the one that thought of thinking of it, so that's a good thing. Yeah, this is The Morning Voice. This is our Friday show where we talk about business success. With us in the studio is my good friend Morgan Murphy. Good morning again, and happy Valentine's Day, Morgan.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
And you can say happy Valentine's Day to your Mr. McBride if you want to.
I think Zach's asleep.
Well, they're engaged to be married, so we'll see when that date comes up. But with us this segment is a new business in town. It's called The Pad, and Reva and Andrew Mackey are the owners of The Pad. And so good morning, Reva. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone here. And mine is also, I think, sleeping, but I'll say happy Valentine's Day, Andrew.
Yeah, you had him at the pad last night, late at night, trying to get some work done, and you had to get up early and come here, and he got a chance to sleep in. So tell us, what is The Pad Tucson?
The Pad Tucson is an indoor racket sport business just on the other side of downtown.
Right.
We have indoor padel, ping pong, or table tennis.
Right.
And pickleball.
Right. So yeah. There's 9 pickleball courts and 7 padel courts.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful facility. It's indoors, so yes. It's in an old factory or warehouse. I guess this is the word it's called, a warehouse that is just off of Tool Avenue and 4th Avenue there, right there as you make the, as you come up under the underpass, you make that right turn and come right around and it's right there.
It's right there.
It's right in the middle of downtown and just on the outskirts there. And it's a beautiful facility. It's amazing what you've done to transform that building a beautiful facility. So let's talk a little bit about why you came from Canada and that experience, and you moved to Tucson, Arizona, and decided to open a racket club with a couple of different formats of people using paddles to play ball. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the journey is long. I'll talk about myself just for a second. I'm a long-time racket sports player, community builder, coach. I started playing racquetball when I was 8.
Right.
And
you're 16 now, so that's been 8 years.
That's right, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Then I switched to tennis when I was 12, and I played college tennis. And after that, started playing paddle. The first time I played paddle was about 2008, so quite a while ago. But in Canada, we only had outdoor courts,
right.
And it wasn't, you know, the community wasn't very big. So we played about 3 months a year, and some years you played and some years you didn't. Anyways, I was totally hooked on the sport, but didn't see a way to really sink my teeth into it until about 2019.
Right.
And from that moment, I knew that I wanted to be part of the growth of that particular sport and saw a future where I would be involved with a club, starting a club or something like that. But it took us quite a while to get here.
Right.
In Canada and the U.S., paddles growth has been slower than around the world.
Right.
And so I was kind of, I've lived in Miami, Florida for the last 3.5 years before coming to Tucson so that I could really learn the sport of paddle.
Right.
And I started looking in cities around the United States for an appropriate space to put something inside. I knew I wanted to have a club inside.
Right.
And let me tell you, it's very difficult right now to find those spaces. We actually were looking in about 12 different cities. Because we need high ceilings and we need a landlord that is willing to take a chance on a sports use, which isn't always the easiest to find.
Right, right.
Anyways, Andrew added Tucson to the list. We're sort of bringing us full circle because Andrew and I played tennis tournaments here when we were juniors. Every New Year's, we would come down and play the Copper Bowl.
Yeah, we were talking about that, yeah.
And so we added Tucson to our list on the search and we found the space the next day.
Wow.
So I think there's a little bit of destiny here for why we're here in Tucson, and we're so grateful to be here doing this. The community's been amazing to us, and now we have our doors soft open. We've been open a couple weeks, and we're just looking to hit the ground running.
It's interesting that both pickleball and padel or paddleball kind of started around the same time in the 60s.
They did.
But how the pickleball has just taken off across the country in the United States, even though it's been around for, you know, 50 years or so, it just has taken off in the last decade across the padel is very popular in foreign countries, right?
It is,
Spain and other places. And it's interesting, it's pronounced padel, but most Americans say paddle, right?
Well, actually, I would say that most Americans and Canadians now are calling it padel.
Padel, yeah.
I say paddle because when I was an American going to other countries, it's been mostly played in Spanish-speaking countries.
Right.
And so they say something like paddle.
Padel, yeah.
And so it was more or less branded as padel here in the United States. And I think they did that in a brilliant way. They had a meeting about 6 years ago at the Orlando National Tennis Center and with a number of different racket sports, because all of us, I think, were calling our sports paddle,
right?
Which made no sense to anyone. If you approach someone who played beach tennis, platform, pop tennis, any of these things,
we were calling table tennis, anything.
We were calling our sport paddle. And so it was a way of differentiating. And so now all of those other sports have a particular name that helps the consumer or participant differentiate between all the different racket sports.
Yeah, so we should I should say padel then, is what I should say. You know, I was talking to a student from Hermosillo, Mexico, yesterday at the University of Arizona, and he was indicating that very popular in Hermosillo, and that
huge.
Those people want to come up and play at the pad because it's an indoor facility and beautiful. And he was talking about the pronunciation of padel and how they say that. So that's great. So you're located on Tule Avenue, just out on the outskirts of downtown Tucson, a beautiful warehouse that's been transformed into this beautiful thing. A couple of things are happening this week, as a matter of fact. You're finishing up the beer and wine bar right in the middle of everything, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's coming.
The top will be on soon, and it'll be ready to go. You're still serving beer and wine and other things on the side right now, but that'll be a nice amenity. And then you're going to have a full pro shop as well, right?
We are, yeah. Our official lobby will be open next week as well,
right,
which will have a small sort of grab-and-go snack bar, pro shop, and a nice sort of lounge area for people to hang out and watch the various racket sports on TV as well. So,
right. We were down there the other night with you and with Andrew, and it was interesting how we were watching the activity and the pickleball courts were just all packed and busy and people having a ton of fun. There were some people over in the padel courts learning that game and doing that. And then back there, Larry was back there working out on some exercise equipment. And
We finished our gym last week. Things are coming along in pieces, but the gym we finished last week, it's a small sort of functional fitness gym, but I think we're going to have a lot of use from our members there.
Right. So, when we come back after the break, we'll talk about how someone can enjoy the amenities at the Pad Tucson, the brand new paddle sports, padel and pickleball and table tennis facility in downtown Tucson. And we'll talk about Reeve and Andrew Mackey, the proprietors and owners of that, and what your vision is for the future as we build the pad out and let people know about it in Tucson. You're listening to The Morning Voice. This is KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk a little bit more about The Pad Tucson.
It's Dolan Ellis, Arizona's balladeer, on Statehood Day. Morning Voice will be right back.
A little bit of Happy Valentine's Day here, Morgan. That's your music right there. Is that fun?
That's my music.
That's you. That's you singing. Hey, we're talking with Reva Mackey. She and her husband, Andrew Mackey, own the Pad Tucson, an engaging, fantastic new facility, and just on the outskirts of downtown on Tule Avenue. Kind of, we'll give a shout out to our friends at Rocks and Ropes. It's kind of next door to Rocks and Ropes there on Tule Avenue, just by a great place. Our friends own, one of our good buddies is the chief operating officer of Barrio, which is right down the street there too. And we had a conversation with her about your new facility and engaging with you. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're a padel or a paddleball player. I call you world renowned because lots of people know your skill in that and you coach and so forth. But pickleball is also really important, isn't it?
Hugely important in North America. And when I'm saying that, I mean mostly Canada and the U.S., although I think it's exploding in Mexico now as well. Pickleball has just engaged these countries in a way that I never would have predicted.
Right.
And I think the reason for that is that the barrier to entry is very low. It's very accessible, both in terms of expense to play and the technical mastery that you, in fact, don't need to step on a court and have a blast with your friends.
Right.
It's played with in doubles. So you go with four people. It's very social. You're getting your exercise. And anyone can really step on a court and engage in a game very, very quickly. So I think that's why it's taken us by storm. And I love to see all of the people out playing it at all different age groups.
Right. From little kids all the way up to seniors who are getting their exercise and having some fun with some friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
We were talking, Bill and I and Morgan were talking with Andrew about where fun meets fitness, and you get to have some fun, but you're also getting some exercise at the same time, and you get some friends and make some new friends and have a great social experience, all while you're staying in shape or being in shape. So it's kind of a unique combination of things that you get, and you don't get that in necessarily any other sport or other sports similar to that. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a sport that you can, both are sports that you can play for the length of your life, more or less. So I was mentioning on the break that there's a statistic that I've heard where the life expectancy of racket sport players is longer than the general average. So there's something to be said about that.
We're talking with Reva Mackey. She and her husband, Andrew, own the Pad Tucson, a new racket sports facility downtown with padel and pickleball and table tennis and a beautiful brand new wine and beer bar and a pro shop coming and a nice little fitness area and a great place for events and so forth. Let's talk before we run out of time. I want to make sure we let people know how they can experience the Pad Tucson and what they could do. And there's memberships, but there's also daily play and so forth. Can you just talk a little bit about how someone, especially if someone has never played before and wants to kind of dip their toe in the water, what would you recommend? And obviously come down and see you, but walk us through that process of what someone could do.
Yeah, so we are launching our well, not full reign of programming, but we're launching our programming on March 1st.
Okay.
And along with that programming, we will have intro classes to both pickleball and paddle once or twice per week, so you can engage in that process. We're having free rating clinics because we are going to use a Duper rating scale in pickleball and a WPR rating scale in padel so that we have really good level-based play at the club for all of our programming. I think it makes for a very enjoyable player experience.
Right.
And the best way to see that is to go to our website, thepadtucson.com, and engage with us that way. We are located at 300 South Toole Avenue, as you've mentioned, and you can email me personally at Reva@thepadtucson.com.
Great. And someone could come down and open up that door and walk in and see the beautiful facility. And right now, obviously, there's a temporary little reception desk there to kind of get you started. But come in and see it. And it's amazing what you see. And you'll give them a tour and kind of walk them through what the options are. And like we said, they can come and play for just an hour or two right then and there and kind of get used to it. And then down the line, maybe enjoy a membership, which you come in on a regular basis on a couple times a week, perhaps, and get your fitness and fun going at the same time.
That's right. We do have programming available. We have drop-in rates and memberships available for either sport or a full facility. We're really wanting to cater to whoever wants to walk in that door and get on a form of court.
Right.
Yeah, it's we have a lot of options for people to get involved.
Right, and you talked about community engagement. We're going to have a grand opening and have some of the official. We decided not to do a ribbon cutting. We're doing a padel ball smash or something like that. We'll do something fun, but being engaged with the community—that's what your business is all about—is engagement with your players and your members and the community around you. A perfect fit for Tucson.
Yeah, I think it's the nature of who Andrew and I are as people. We've moved our family here to do this business, and so this club is basically the extension of our family. We're going to find ourselves there a lot, and so that's how we want to build it out, is that people, it's a home away from home for all of our members, and we hope that I've already seen that they're around a lot. I think we have some people that will work from the club when we're open all hours, and it's really an enjoyable place to be, not just on the court, but you feel that connection to the other people that are around.
I met your kids a couple of times. They're wonderful young, and kudos to you and Andrew for homeschooling them. Oh my goodness gracious, you got that going on, and then you got the business that you're running, and so you guys never see each other. But I just have to give a shout out to one of your other Valentines, Captain.
Oh,
he was there the other night, and boy, is he's a Captain's there, wonderful, wonderful puppy. So yeah, well, it's great to have you here on the Morning Voice, Reva and Andrew Mackey, the Pad Tucson, a brand new facility. facility, go to thepadtucson.com to find out more information and come down and visit you, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on in. I'm there.
Great. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Thank you for listening. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back with another hour of The Morning Voice.
Erica Barnes coming up in U of A Wonder Stories.
Good morning and happy Valentine's Day and happy Arizona Statehood Day. Morgan Murphy, my assistant, is here with us. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
You told me you're going to do a little bit of work tonight on Valentine's Day, so you're going to be up to your eyeballs and romance and so forth because you're going to be serving people all night long.
All night long. It's going to be really fun.
Morgan's been working. She's a native Tucsonan, been out in, lives in Marana, and she's been working at Lil Abner's for almost a decade now. You've been there a long time.
7 years, so.
Yeah. And so that's a lot of people taking their loved one out to Lil Abner's for a little country thunder, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, with us this morning is one of my most favorite people from the University of Arizona. She's a frequent guest in my classes at the Eller College of Management, and she is well known to many, many people on campus and around the community and statewide and even nationally, our good friend Erica Barnes. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are a wonderful person. Well, we'll just talk a little bit about, you know, the 19 years or more, over two decades that you have spent at the University of Arizona. You came to, I know Matt and I watched you play when you were a softball phenom at at the University of Arizona. I noticed you posted a picture the other day of a famous pitcher, and you were in the background.
You said,
I got some FaceTime. So Jenny Fish was the pitcher, and you were, well, second base, is that where you were?
I'm first base. I'm a lefty. So
you're a lefty, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, the 19 years doesn't include my playing year. So I played from 97 to 2001. So
Right.
And then came back to work in fall of 2005. So
yeah.
Yes, a good majority of my life has been revolved around the Arizona Wildcats.
I was thinking as we were setting this up, I was thinking, trying to go through the number of college presidents that you have had and how we would go through that. And I definitely went through the athletic directors that you served with and for and yourself serving as that. But it's been a fun run, hasn't it, for the last 20 years or so?
It sure has. And I'm glad you brought up the athletics directors because Jim Lyman Good was the AD for 16 years, and and so he was here when I was playing, and then when I returned, he was here, and then kind of I got my few first promotions under Jim, and so when I was recognized at the men's basketball game a few weeks ago, I asked him to be on the court with me along with Rocky LaRose, and I just you know, you have to think about the. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, and those are two that were influential in my life.
I just have to put in a personal point of privilege with Jim. You know, we handled the Jim and Linda Livengood Toys for Tots golf tournament for
well
over, I think it was 14 years we did it out at Arizona National, and he and Linda and his family were what wonderful, wonderful people. And he even said one time, you know, he was helping my son try to get some land to play some college football in the Midwest. And he says, you know, your family, this is important to us. So good. What a wonderful man he is.
Wonderful man. And he has a nice tree of athletic administrators around the country.
Oh,
and I think it says a lot about him. And how about that he was here for 16 years? You don't, that's
unheard of
anymore.
And he chaired the NCAA basketball men's basketball tournament a couple of times and has a nice legacy, and it's great that he's chose to stay here in Tucson and lives here in Tucson. And,
it's wonderful. And you know, his son-in-law is on our men's basketball coaching staff, so that makes it kind of full circle. It's neat.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Rocky is Kathleen Rocky LaRose. I call her my homecoming queen because she was the homecoming queen when I was down at the U of A. She was also a wonderful person, was a great person to have in the athletic department for
absolutely.
So many years.
Yeah, yes, so. It's just a great foundation and someone that I learned very much from.
So you're Erica Barnes. You started in the, you know, after a few years doing your beginning, your career, you came to the U of A, and you've had a couple of different roles in the athletic department, but you rose to senior athletic director, senior associate athletic director, what, executive athletic director?
Executive, senior associate, AD, and senior woman minister. Yeah. It's long, you know?
Yeah. But one of the things that was kind of neat, we kind of go forwards and backwards, is that you got to serve, kind of like Rocky did, in between appointments. You served as the athletic director on an interim basis, so you really got your feet wet in terms of how to handle a program like that on your own.
Yeah, that was a President Hart was the president at the time, and Greg Byrne left for Alabama. And I remember I was at a women's basketball game on a Sunday, and I took the call from Dr. Hart, and she asked if I could step outside and asked me about serving as interim athletic director. And it was a wonderful experience. I think it gave me the bug. Some people through their career have said that was their dream, was to be the AD. I wasn't sure yet if that's what I wanted, but that definitely gave me the taste of it, and I really enjoyed, you know, the impact you're making on so many student athletes and fans, and you're the marketing arm of a wonderful university in the athletics department. So yeah, I enjoyed it, and we'll see.
Yeah, we're speaking with Erica Barnes, the great career at the University of Arizona Athletics, and also a playing career with the champion Mike Andrea, who's still with the athletic department as a special advisor. And you had a great run as a team. He did over, 35 years, whatever he coached. Mm-hmm. Amazing career that Mike Andrea had. But both you, Mike, Jim Livengood, Rocky, what a change in athletics over your 19 years in administration.
Yes.
When you started to what it is today, an incredible change in the whole atmosphere of college athletics, and this new realignment with the U of A after many, many years going from the Pac-6, Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, mm-hmm. and now in the Big 12. You've seen a real change in how athletics works, and how it's funded, and how it's expensive, and how it's mm-hmm. Changed from 100% amateur to NIL now. And so it's been quite an interesting ride for you, hasn't it?
It has. If you would have told me when I returned to the U of A in 2005 that in 2023, 24, 25, you're talking about name, image, likeness, and compensating student athletes, you would have kind of been scratching your head and say, I don't know, that might have been not for another few decades, you know, and here we are. And I think even what I think it's lost on people when we talk about even our budget is, I think one of the things that really happened, it was Greg Byrne was here at the time as our athletics director, was the deregulation of mm-hmm. a lot of our NCAA bylaws. And so the ability to be able to feed the student athletes whenever you wanted, unlimited snacks, our psychology, what our clinical right. psychologists, we have four, just the resources now that you're able to provide our student athletes is wonderful. It's quality, but it also really increased our expenses. So now everybody mm. wants to talk about the NIL piece that right. is funds now going outside of our athletics department, which will eventually now start, the pendulum will come in now with the House settlement and revenue share. But those are the things that kind of crept up right. on us over the last decade.
The growth and the explosion of the size of the athletic, and of course now 20 is it 22 sports now or 21 or 22 sports with the addition of the triathlon team.
Yes, I was what that's kind of some of my pride points in my career. We added beach volleyball, right. And it's a wonderful program. It's a wonderful sport. It's played in the Olympics, mm-hmm. very regionally based for the West, and then adding triathlon was. We just caught lightning in a bottle last year, but
national championship.
We knew that I think the University of Arizona was always kind of primed to have success in triathlon. I mean, Tucson just lends itself to such a wonderful training ground. Mm-hmm. So many triathletes come here to train, and our partners up at ASU, who's had a program, wanting us to get on board too, because mm-hmm. I think it just makes our state stronger with that sport. So it was really, really exciting to see them win.
Like you said, lightning in a bottle. It's pretty rare that you would start a brand new sport at a college level and then win the national championship that year. That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool. We have a wonderful coach that had a lot of experience with international play in USA triathlon.
Right.
So he was able to recruit pretty quickly some amazing athletes from all over the world.
And you had a baptism as well in the when the whole realignment of conferences started. You were really into the negotiations and working with the Pac-12 and trying to mm-hmm. sustain that. Or what do we do? Move that? Do we move? Do we go to Pac-8 again? Who's going? UCLA out? USC out? Who's in? And then the decision was made to move to the Big 12.
Right.
An amazing process, right?
Yeah. But on the Pac-12 Council was, I think, the time that where we are, I'd say, in kind of this new era of our industry, that was the one that was kind of the most heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
It was a century-old conference mm-hmm. that I think had a lot of strong ties together. So that move was really the change of the rapid change, I think, in the landscape of where we are now. And it's prepared us now that, hey, things change quite quickly. So we are all part of the old Pac-12, and they're making a rebuild. They're making a comeback too. But being part of the Big 12, seeing what this part of the country, how they invest in all of sports, but especially in football and basketball,
right.
It's been really exciting. And I'm excited to be part of the Big 12 and the Big 12 Council. And the commissioner, Brett Yormark, has been really aggressive. And I think he's a good leader right now for that conference. So it's been a lot of fun joining this conference.
Forgive me, Andy, for saying this, but I look across the desk and I see this beautiful woman sitting in front of me. and I say that for a reason, is that you are a woman in athletics and high up in administration. You're very well known across the country for that very reason of being a woman and being very high up in administrative. And so that has been an important part of what you've been doing, too, is to have that female voice, right?
Thank you. I think so. If we talked in your classes, I received my MBA through Eller, and I did the full-time professionals program with the Phoenix cohort. I was in the second cohort for Phoenix. And I think it's really important to have that foundation, that business background and experience to prepare me for being part of the athletics department. It's not just about, it was wonderful to have that student athlete experience and being on our campus. But I think with the direction we are going, it's important to understand kind of all aspects of really what this enterprise is about. It's become much of a business while you're still trying to bridge that beautiful amateurism and that you're part of a great, vibrant campus of a place like University of Arizona.
Great. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about your legacy of 19 years in administration and athletics at the University of Arizona and just your Wildcat pride and Wildcat for life and what you see for the future for you personally. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. You're listening to The Wonder Series, where we talk about the good things and the good people at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice on Statehood Day for Arizona, as well as Valentine's Day, and also talking about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Bill Ackerley's with us. My assistant, Morgan Murphy, is with us. Again, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And our good friend, my good friend, a friend of many people, obviously, since there's 10 billboards up around the city of Tucson from donors who think that you're an awesome person, they've put up these 10 billboards saying thanks to Erica Barnes. We do thank you. You have done a great job in Tucson, and that's a real tribute to your involvement with the community and with sponsors and with alumni and with, in my case, you come into my class and talk to our current students and athletes. You've just been a real community builder, and that's a really good, big tribute. I was going to ask you.
Wow, thank you.
What accomplishments are you proud of? And I'll just say I'm proud of you for the great impact you've made on the community.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. Coach Brennan and I were actually driving up to the Waste Management Open last week, and we saw one of the billboards. And I wish that I just had the recording just to hear Coach Brennan's reaction. Right. It was so nice. He's like, look, there it is.
That's great.
It was really sweet.
Well, you were here when he was here, back in the day when his brothers were here, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and when he was a GA, and his brother Brad was a wide receiver when I was playing softball, and then his brother Pat was on the club water polo team. So, Yes, I've known the Brennan family for a long time, and They're really good people.
Well, I'm going to twist your arm and make you help me get him on the Morning Voice, because we'd love to have him in here talking about the great work he's doing with the U of A football team.
Great.
You know, I do want to ask you, you talked about the new sports of, getting beach volleyball and getting the
triathlon
and so forth. But as you think back on the 19 years in your administration work at the athletics department, what are you most proud of?
Well, I think it was fun to be recruited twice. Mm-hmm. Recruited the first time by Mike Candrea, and then I went and lived in New York for 2 years. I was working with a national pro fast pitch team in partnership with Major League Baseball with the league, and then I worked back in LA at Fox Sports and worked in some sales. And so I was at a U of A at USC football tailgate in 2005, and I was with some of my U of A alumni friends, and we said, let's go talk to the Alumni Association tailgate and with the athletics department. And so it was Chris Del Conte and Scott McKenzie and James Francis that kind of cornered me and said, we heard you move back west. You should consider coming back to U of A. And we talked for 45 minutes, and I called them on Monday and I said, okay, I'm in. And I drove down to Tucson and never looked back. So it was a wonderful time. Worked in marketing first, which was, you grind and you're trying to sell tickets, and you've got so many games. My friends that I lived with at the time always joked that they never saw me for those few years. And then getting into development, I think one of the things I really enjoyed was living in Phoenix. I did our regional development work for 3 years. So living up in Maricopa County, really understanding what the U of A meant to that group. And sometimes they're more passionate than we are down here, because they're in that school up north territory. And they don't get down as often. But they are very supportive of what we're doing down here in Southern Arizona. And, I think one of the first ones was, securing the gift of $3.5 million from Richard Jefferson, for the Richard Jefferson basketball practice facility. We really spent a lot of time in investing in those facilities. And so for him to give that gift, as a professional athlete, it held the record for about a decade of the largest gift from a professional athlete to his alma mater. He was only 29 at the time. And so to do that, it really kind of, I think, kind of raised the bar for Wildcats to support their school and their program. So I think that's one of the ones that's kind of my favorite. I went out to San Diego to go visit him. I worked on it for about a year, and then he said, okay, I'm in. And then we made it a secret. We didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And then he did it. He came back for the Lute Olson All-Star Classic, and he did a press conference, and he had Lute there, but he surprised his mom. Nobody knew that he was going to announce this. So it was a pretty wonderful weekend. And like I said, I think kind of set the stage for future Wildcats.
Right. Speaking of future Wildcats, you've got a couple. And you've got an alumnus that lives with you, and Andy, who is a former U of A golfer and now on the PGA Tour with 20 years or more of him being on the PGA Tour, not only with his brother Ricky, but with working with a couple of big name golfers. He's here in town this week. He was up at the Waste Management. You went up to see him do his thing up there.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that legacy. You have a wonderful family, and your folks are here, and Tucson's been great to you and your family, hasn't it?
Well, thanks. Well, Morgan mentioned working at Lil Abner's, and it reminded me, with it being Valentine's Day, that he graduated in moved up to Phoenix, turned pro, and he was coming down to visit Ricky, and Ricky's 4 years younger than him. So I had just graduated, and we ran into each other in a men's basketball game, and we kind of went on a few dates that week, and one of them was to Little Abner's.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
It was with Rick Anderson, too. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, you know, you all go in groups at that
Ricky,
age.
Ricky, yeah.
But Ricky Anderson was on our basketball team, and him and Ricky Barnes were roommates.
I see.
And so we went with, like, Ricky Anderson's family and Andy. Very romantic.
Very romantic, yeah.
But something worked because when I moved back to New York, we started dating. We got married in 2007. We have two little kids right now, Tilly and Blake. They're 11 and 9, going on to be teenagers soon, I feel like. We are in the thick of it with club soccer, club softball, next level flag football with the U of A football program, which is an amazing program, by the way, that our players are the coaches and referees on Sundays. And so no rest for the weary here. Baseball, too. Baseball is about to start, Little League Baseball. So so weeks like this, when he's home, he gets his kind of full dose with the kids. He does the drop-offs and pickups and helps at practices, and then he'll leave for Puerto Vallarta on Monday.
Right. And then he's going to get a little practice in today, hopefully. While you're doing your thing, he's going to maybe go hit a few balls.
A little bit. His back is so bad that he also spends a lot of time doing yoga and chiropractor and cold plunge and cupping, all those things you do. But he caddies for Charlie Hoffman. And funny story, Charlie and him are the same age, and they are actually both recruited to Arizona. And they went on recruiting trips together. But Charlie chose UNLV, and Andy chose Arizona. And Charlie won a national championship actually at UNLV. So they turned pro together. We're on mini tours together. He had asked him kind of early on to caddy for him. But he's been full-time with him the last 4 years, and it's been kind of fun to watch because now they're the old guys. They're the old guys on tour, and they're wearing the warm back braces that keep them warm and stretching, and it's pretty funny to see.
Great.
But proud
that's
of them
great.
For what they've done.
Well, Eric, I just have to say it's just been a pleasure to be your friend over the last few years and watch you grow in administration and all the things you do and your family. And you're a wonderful person. We really are grateful to you and your family for being at the U of A for 19 years and as an administrator and an alumnus, forever a Wildcat, right?
Oh, thank you. You're going to make me emotional here, but the university has given me so much. And so I feel it's my responsibility to serve and give back to this community. So thank you.
Well, we wish you well in your future endeavors. And as you cart the little guys around to all of their sporting events, remember that little girl that was playing softball and your folks did that with you and took you all over the place. It's I have three sons and we did the same thing. It's a great reward, and enjoy that time with your youngins because it goes fast.
Thank you. I will.
And good luck tonight with the Valentine's with you and Andy. You know, he's home for Valentine's, which is great. So.
I know, yeah, before the 17 sports this weekend. So we'll fit in some takeout. I don't know. Or actually, my daughter wants to go to the U of A softball game.
All right, so you might do that first.
So I might be doing that, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning, and thank you for joining us. You're our first U of A guest on The Morning Voice for the Wonder Series, and it's very appropriate that we would have the great Erica Barnes from the U of A Athletics Department. So thank you, and good luck to you as you move on to your next assignment, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bear down.
Yeah, bear down. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Arizona Statehood Day, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome, Bill Ackerley. Thank you for being here. Morgan Murphy, my executive assistant, who's here. Good morning and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
It's appropriate. We're in the midst of Wildcat Wonder, talking about the good things going on at the U of A. You're a Wildcat Wonder. You're getting your master's degree at the Eller College.
Almost done.
Yeah, we're gonna make you edumacated and get you a degree and get you out in the real world. With us for this segment is Dr. Tara Karsh. She's in the Department of Medicine. Welcome and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Valentine's Day.
Great. We've had some wonderful guests from your college and your department over at Banner and the College of Medicine, and talking about lots of different things about the breath of life, which is really important. We all breathe and we all have pulmonary reasons to be alive. I'm very thankful that I'm alive and that I have a good setup with my lungs and so forth. Before we get talking about a little bit about your research, let's just talk about you and how did Dr. Tara Karsh get to the University of Arizona?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking. I grew up in New York, so I'm an East Coaster by birth. I went to a small school in Virginia for my undergraduate, Washington and Lee University. I was at University of Virginia for my medical school, and that's where I found the field of allergy and immunology.
Great.
And have been passionate about it ever since. I got great mentors, went to Northwestern University in Chicago for my internal medicine residency training and for my allergy and immunology fellowship training. Around that time, my parents had retired out to Tucson, so we were willing to come to Tucson. I had been to Tucson many times. It's a special place, and
it
so we were
sure
excited
is.
To, my husband and I found jobs and have been here ever since.
Yeah, both Morgan and I are native Tucsonans, and we love this area. We're trying to keep Morgan in Tucson before she heads out with her degree. We're going to try and rope her and her husband to stay here in town. So your work focuses basically on many things, but on asthma, its treatment and prevention. And what are some of the most exciting things about when you took on and looking at asthma? Why asthma, and why is that the focus of what you do right now?
Asthma is a chronic inflammatory condition that affects the lungs. It affects children, it affects adults, it can affect people for their entire lifespan. And despite the fact that it's so common, we don't understand everything about it yet. And so there's a lot to be learned. I think one of the most exciting things that's happened for me as a physician in the past 13 years since I've been here in Tucson is that we've had a lot more treatments become available to us for our patients. And some of those treatments have been really life-changing. And so it's been really rewarding and really exciting as a physician to be able to help people so much with how they feel and how their health is overall. But I think there's a lot that we can still learn and do in terms of prevention of asthma. And that's really where the research is focused.
Right. I have a friend who Bill and I known for years, happened to see him at the bank the other day, 2 days ago. And he was talking about his own personal journey. He was diagnosed with asthma as a young child going to elementary school. And he's in his seventh decade now. And it has been a struggle all these years to deal with asthma. And it never goes away. Mm-hmm. And it's part of his daily grind is to make sure that he can breathe. So
yeah, and breathing is very, very important.
Yeah. So you did some recent work in U.S. United States and Mexico on a study to explore the hygiene hypothesis. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some good germs out there that we know that if we're exposed to these good germs, particularly early in life as kids, that our immune systems are going to develop and health is going to develop and people will be healthy. And if we're not exposed to those good germs, then we're more likely to get diseases like asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And we observed a few years ago that here in Tucson, children of Mexican descent are fourfold higher risk for having childhood asthma than children who live right across the border in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico. And we believe that there are early life microbial exposures that are protective in Mexico that kids aren't getting exposed to here in Tucson. So our study is a binational study that's trying to understand what those protective exposures are so that we can understand how to better protect children on a broader scale here in the United States and beyond.
That's very interesting that just the environment of where you grow up sometimes might dictate what diseases you catch. And well, obviously, depending on where you are, but that's interesting that study is focusing on those little bugs. Yeah.
It is. We're really excited. We're in our data analysis phase, and we're hopefully going to be publishing some papers really soon that start to give some clarity and insight to how all this is happening and how the protection is happening.
So, I'm in the Eller College. I've been there for almost 3.5 decades now, and I just talked yesterday to the students about how the first 7 years of their life dictates their consumer behavior patterns for the rest of their life, and we can use that as a predictor of their behavior as a consumer. Well, the same is true with diseases like this. What happens in the first few years of your life can kind of predicate what's going to happen to you down the line as you grow up and become an adult and face these issues, right?
Yeah, we think the things that happen in those first few years of childhood influence not only your childhood health, but also your health as an adult. Absolutely.
That's interesting. We're talking with Dr. Tara Carr with the Department of Medicine at the University of Arizona. Your study also looked at the impact of the pandemic on asthma. And of course, the pandemic affected everybody all across the world, and some more severe than others. But what kind of trends and changes did you recover from that kind of a study of looking at how the pandemic affected
people? Well, I think one thing that our patients with asthma realized was how much infections influence their diseases, because when they were at home or when they were masking and washing their hands and really not being mm-hmm. exposed to any infectious viruses, not just COVID, but other things, they were just healthier overall. So I have a lot of patients who are probably going to continue masking regularly right. for the rest of their lives just to remain healthy. But I think we also learned that there is so much we don't know about how the disease process of asthma interacts with viral infections, and how the medications that we give people can potentially be protective and be helpful in the setting of those diseases.
Right. You know, it's interesting that you say masking. I think there maybe before the pandemic, if someone was out in public, maybe in Japan and Hong Kong and some other places, and lots of people had masks on, it was kind of normal. But in here in the States, if, you know, you wore a mask, you were kind of maybe looked at like, you know, germaphobe, what are you doing? That kind of thing. After the pandemic, I still see people all the time wearing masks, and it's really to protect themselves and mm-hmm. protect others. And that's important that they have that mindset of trying to mitigate whatever they can in order not to get the germs and the things that cause problems, right?
Right. In my field, we take care of a lot of people who have immune deficiency disorders, mm-hmm. and they've always been masking and protecting themselves and really trying to avoid those big exposures. And I think it helps people with other chronic diseases too, including asthma, COPD, other lung conditions.
So, I was recently in some time at Banner and so forth, and you know, I got my bubble burst. I was talking to one of the docs, and I said, when I came in here, I was getting some tests and stuff, and I felt like a VIP. I had all these docs coming in and talking to me, and nurses and everything. And I thought it was because I was somebody special. And he said, well, I don't want to burst your bubble, but we're a teaching hospital. And
that's
so
true.
Those doctors are coming in to look at your results and everything. But what also that means is there's a lot of clinical trials and things happening at Banner and at the College of Medicine, and because of that whole integration of learning and so forth, there's a lot going on. So what are some of the clinical trials that you're doing in asthma and food allergies and so forth?
Yeah, so the center that I'm part of is called the Asthma and Airway Disease Research Center. It's been a longstanding center at the University of Arizona since before I was born. It used to be called the Arizona Respiratory Center. It's led by Fernando Martinez, and we do these observational studies like the U.S.-Mexico project that I was discussing earlier, but we also offer clinical trials, many of which are being funded by industry, and so new right. treatments for these diseases. We have new treatments for asthma. We have new treatments for chronic sinusitis, and we're offering treatments for food allergy. And we're anticipating interventional and observational studies for other related disorders like drug allergy and some skin conditions, chronic hives.
It's great. You know, the whole point of the Morning Voice is to talk to people who are doing cutting edge research and helping people live out their lives, answering the big questions of why are we here and how come we're alive at this time in the history of the universe, and the whole space thing that we've been focusing on the last few months, but also just having people live a healthy life and be secure. And it's just amazing to me the good work that you and your team are doing at the University of Arizona. That's why we call it Wildcat Wonder, because we like to kind of highlight the good things that are going on in research that are affecting everyday people's life, which is important for us to kind of focus on. And that's what your clinical trials are doing, is trying to answer some of those questions.
Yeah, thank you. We're really passionate about it, and we're hoping to reach more and more people over time to engage as many people as we can in some of these studies that could potentially be really impactful.
We'll come back after the break, and we'll talk with Dr. Tara Carr about what the Department of Medicine has in store for her and what she's going to be doing in her future in terms of research and trials. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back with Wildcat Wonder after the break. That is amazing. Air and Love. Matt, you just amazed me at the music
you
that you pull up.
That wasn't Google.
That was out of your mind. The air that we breathe and love on Valentine's Day. That's fantastic. Matt Neely, I said this last Friday when we were talking, but I just want to again congratulate you on your promotion here at Bustos Media and the new assistant program director at the five stations that grace this place. You've done a great job, and congratulations
to you. Thank you. I much appreciated.
You got a million hits. Your wife got a million hits on your Facebook post about this. It was amazing how many people in Tucson love you. So it's
Mary did one of those marketing weasels
yeah,
that you train up.
Exactly. Yep. Congratulations to you, and happy Valentine's Day to your lovely wife too. So we're speaking with Dr. Tara Carr. We're doing the Wildcat Wonder, University of Arizona, talking about the great things happening at the U of A. You know, when we started Jump in Tucson 14 months ago, one of my goals was to highlight the good things. We hear a lot about
oh, crime and financials and administration changes and so forth, and those make the lead on the local news and the newspaper and so forth. But every day at the University of Arizona, there's lots of people doing lots of good work, doing wonderful things for the betterment of our community here in Tucson. It's the elephant in the room. It's the biggest thing in the middle of Tucson. And without the U of A, Tucson wouldn't be much. And we just want to thank all the people that do the hard work at the U of A, even under severe budget cuts, both you know, with the university system, but also now nationally with research dollars and so forth. It's going to be a real challenge the next few years as the U of A kind of muddles its way through these challenges. But there's still great work being done with wonderful people like Dr. Tara Carr from the University of Arizona Department of Medicine. And, you know, your work on asthma and other allergies and so forth has been great. So what are some of the innovative treatments that are being explored for kids and people who have asthma? As I said, I was in for some tests and at the teaching hospital, and I had this one doc come in, and he gave me three or four options, and one of them was an experimental option that they were trying to work on, and he explained it all to me. We actually chose the experimental option because cutting edge and just an amazing thing. So every year something new comes out to help with this. So what are some of the treatments for asthma and those airborne illnesses and so forth that are being explored?
Thank you for asking. I think one of the exciting treatments that we're exploring for early life for kids who have risk for asthma based on their parents or based on their you know, their family history is a treatment called bronchovaxome, which is a byproduct of bacteria. It's basically broken down bacteria that you ingest. Mm-hmm. And it can actually help stimulate your immune system in a way that protects you from developing asthma. People use this in Europe, and we're studying it for use in the United States here. So that's very exciting. It's kind of a sort of natural intervention that can help boost the immune system. For people who already have asthma, there are treatments that are being developed called biologic therapies, which kind of work with the immune system and block specific pathways and target chemicals and things that are driving asthma, and that can make asthma feel better and make people healthier over time. And we have a few of those available to us now, and there are more and more being developed that might be better or that might be more convenient for patients to use. There's another clinical trial that we're a part of called the PRECISE study, which is a national Heart-Lung Institute-funded network across the country where we're studying kind of new treatments, different sorts of things that haven't been used before, but that might have promise, particularly for people with more severe asthma. And we're trying to understand the characteristics of people with asthma so that we can more target those characteristics and hopefully improve their disease.
And how can patients and families get involved with these clinical trials and interface with the Department of Medicine and U of A and Banner and other places where you're testing some of these ideas?
Well, we try to offer the clinical trials to patients when they come in to see us, when they're available. But one of the ways we're trying to capture as many people who are interested as possible is through our asthma and airway disease research website, where we have a little link where you can kind of put your information in, and one of our research coordinators will call you, offer you studies, get a sense of what disorders you're interested in being treated for or contributing to studies for. We have a registry that essentially captures all that information. And the clinical trials come and go, and when they come, we're available to enroll, and when they go, we're looking for the next set that we can bring to our patients.
Right, right. If you could give any advice to parents who want to help prevent asthma here in the Southwest with their kids, what are some of the things that you would suggest to a parent if they came in and asked you for some advice? What would you say about this and any you know, lifestyle that would maybe mitigate the chance of getting some of these diseases?
I think to tell parents of young children to just let your children go play outside in the dirt, enjoy the dirt, roll around in the dirt, and really be active. We believe that that those healthy germs exposure early in life is very helpful for protecting against asthma and other allergic diseases, but also the kind of obesity epidemic that we're seeing that's particularly targeting and affecting children is also influencing asthma risk. And we've shown in another one of our clinical studies, the Tucson Children's Respiratory Study, that children who have high insulin, so insulin resistance, who are heavier in early life, are at higher risk for developing asthma in childhood and through adulthood.
Well, great work with you and your team at the University of Arizona Department of Medicine. This is Dr. Terry Carr working on asthma and other great things. We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate the good work and the wonder that you are presenting at the University of Arizona. Morgan,
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Statehood Day to you, Bill. Dr. Tara Carr, thank you for the good work and the things you're doing at the University of Arizona.
Thank you for having me, and go Cats.
You're listening to The Morning Voice. That wraps it for today. Lydia will be here on Monday with The Morning Voice, and we'll see you next Friday. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM.